The following episode of Footy Prime the Podcast contains violence, coarse language, talking of shite, full frontal nudity, and adult scenes. Listener discretion is advised. BetMGM, the place for soccer in Canada, presents Footy Prime.
Oh, let's go!
Footy, footy, it's time to get this party started. It's the footy, footy, it's time to get this party started. With Danny, Jimmy, Gregor, and the Dreamin' JC. All we know and all we talk about is footy, footy. It's time to get this party started tonight.
Footy Prime's Prem Party Prediction, take one.
Hey, guess what, everyone? BetMGM is the place for soccer in Canada. Lots of betting available this weekend, a ton of betting available this weekend, because the Prem starts, as JC just mentioned there. How exciting! It's not even Christmas Eve because there's a game today when Arsenal play Coventry at 3 p.m. Eastern. So it's not even like, you know, we can like go to bed all excited. It starts today. I know what my afternoon is. I'm going to be actually cooking tortillere while having my laptop on, breaking all the food safety rules in the kitchen.
Don't say that out loud.
It'll be far away. I have it on my AirPods, I think, probably. But anyway, sure I will. Anyway, yeah, it's a big day. Now we're going to get to our Premier League kind of prediction-y kind of show. Like we mentioned in the last podcast, it won't be a typical prediction-y show because there's thousands of those out there that would do a far better job than us. So you can have those and have fun, but we'll have fun as well with our own little style here. But I do want to start with something more newsy. Amy Walsh is here, Craig Forrest, Jimmy Brennan, JC. No Wonga today, but Wonga has submitted his Premier League prediction, so to speak. But
prediction?
MLS. Oh, why are you laughing, Dubs?
Because I thought you said predictions, and that made me laugh. Sorry.
Predictions? I may well have said predictions.
Like a cat.
I think you get the idea.
Right.
Predictions. With the Black Cat, so he'd be pretty good this year in Sunderland, but that's not part of the show. MLS under the new commissioner, Larry Bird.
Larry Bird.
Seems as if he's making quite a big statement. Quite a big, stupid statement. I mean, this is his first big statement. The reorganization of the playoff structure in MLS, as the Athletic reports, Paul Tenorio all over this story. Then I mean, listen, maybe you guys like it. What I thought I'd do is just to break it down. I'm going to read a part of Paul Tenorio's column yesterday from The Athletic because it just explains it probably the best. Okay, so bear with me. The new playoff structure, which again has not been formally approved, would essentially have an upper and lower bracket. The top 8 teams in the single table regular season will advance to the upper bracket, with the top 4 seeds holding home field advantage. Those 8 teams will play, and the winners automatically advance to the quarterfinals. The losers, however, are not eliminated. As a top 8 seed, they earn a double chance. Simultaneously, a lower bracket will be playing out. Teams 13 through 20, will play a single elimination play-in game. The winners of those 4 games will then be reseeded and advance to face the 9 through 12 seeds. The winners of those 4 games will then advance to face the losers of the upper bracket games, the beneficiaries of that double chance in the playoffs. The winners of those games will then advance to the quarterfinals. From there, it's single elimination. And yeah. Oh, Craig, why do people overthink things? Is it justifying jobs? This is so fucking stupid.
It is. It's just way too clunky.
That's the word.
Right? I mean, how many fans are going to be able to figure this out? Like,
yep.
They'll be losing games and they'll be like, no, we're not out yet.
Have you seen the bracket?
I want to know if they'll be done by Christmas.
So 20 teams out of 30 are going to be in the playoffs.
Yeah.
What's the point of the regular season other than just positioning, really?
Seeding for the upper and lower bracket, apparently.
Yeah. Bad idea.
Is this not from Aussie Rules? Is this where they got this from?
Yes, they did.
Oh.
Yeah, it's also from Tenorio's article. It says, in the final stages of approving a structure loosely equivalent to Aussie Rules football, double chance games for higher seeded teams and more single elimination games.
I don't understand. You've just played a whole season. Why do you need a double chance?
Right?
Yeah.
It's always complicated. They always try things. I don't know why. What is wrong with having it simple? Like, okay, if you want 20 teams, I mean, it's a weird number, right, for a knockout tournament, obviously. Say make it 16 teams. Have you know, home and away, seed. It's just simple. It makes sense, and it works. Obviously, they want more games, and they want to have more games that apparently mean more late in the season, but I think the league's doing pretty well.
I agree. I think the owners are – it's just a way to have more gates, create more revenue.
Oh, you think it's money-oriented and justified here, Craig.
It's always about the money. Mm. It's not about the sport. It's not about the sporting side of it because, really, I mean, I think eight on each side of the bracket, east and west, is the best way to go. Simplify it. Everybody knows what you need to do.
Yeah. But I don't like this. I don't like it as well where, what is it, the top 10 end up waiting for everybody else to play and figure this all out.
Yeah, right.
Do you know, I don't like that. I think when you're going to playoffs, you want to get at it right away. And the longer that you sit waiting for the opposition, a lot of times those teams have a momentum now because they're playing. It's play, rest, play, rest. When you have too much of a break, it kills you, kills your momentum.
Wasn't it last year too with the international break? There was some teams. I think Vancouver waited almost 3 weeks between games.
Yeah,
crazy.
That's right.
That had nothing to do with like a home and garden show or a BMX ride or you know, dog show at PC Place.
Best in class.
Yeah.
I mean, does anyone like this? I want to hear from the listeners. Please let us know if you actually think it's a good idea to have 20 or 30 teams qualifying for not just a playoff, but a very convoluted playoff structure. As sports fans, we're simple people, right? We want to have a simple explanation. How does my team advance to the final of the championship? It's really straightforward. The Swiss model is bad enough in the Champions League, which I hate, right? I don't hate everything. It seems like I might. I hate a lot. I just don't know why they try and reinvent things. That's my problem. There are people here clearly just justifying their jobs. That's all it is. And money.
And in Berg's words, he calls those games of consequence and games of jeopardy. So you're trying to conjure that. You're trying to manufacture that jeopardy that you get. And really what they're doing is they're trying to attain kind of that feeling where you're playing on the edge and it's the inherent jeopardy of promotion relegation, and you're never going to get it. So instead of trying to be like that, just double down on what North American sport is. And it's playoffs, and it's that firm cutoff line between the regular season where you have to play up to your potential, even exceed it, or you're a team that's fighting just to claw your way over that line, get into playoffs. And then to Jimmy's point, you're not laying idle for a long time while you wait for all of this convoluted nonsense to play out, but you have an advantage because you've performed well in the regular season. And now they seem to be distancing themselves from this North American model where I think that they should be engaging more fans in what has already worked and doubling down on that instead of ending up somewhere in this limbo where it's neither promotion or relegation and it's not North American sport. And they're trying to conjure something out of thin air that has never been done before. You're not going to reinvent the wheel. Stick with what makes sense. And like when they added that single game elimination, was it a couple of years ago? And it was like the three game playoff with like the ninth team in each of the conferences. I felt like that was just a money grab to produce more content, more games, more gate perhaps for the markets, but mostly for the platform, for MLS and for Apple to have more games to meet some sort of requirement. And now this just seems like you're disconnecting the fans further from what the experience is and what the product is. I don't see why you would want to do that.
30 teams, right? They have more games. They keep expanding. They have more games. And he mentioned, well, I don't think we know relegation promotion is on the table right now, but we want this. Maybe it should be on the table. I don't know. Maybe have a 20-team league and then a 10-team league just beneath it. I understand why the owners will say no, and we've discussed it before. You pay these massive, exorbitant franchise fees. You want some cost certainty and playing in the top division, so to speak. But this is not the answer. It just isn't the answer. And when May rolls around, April and May, and all the other leagues on the calendar, which as MLS will switch to the European calendar, the world calendar, will be in these great title races, we're going to have a lot of very confused fans here in North America saying, oh, Christ, well, I just over in Europe, there's a Champions League and they're in the quarterfinals now. Okay, I get that. That seems straightforward. What is this? Upper bracket? Lower? What?
It's bad enough as it is.
Yeah, it is. It's not great now.
No, there's 9 teams from each side.
Yeah, and I would say. It seems like while they're doing one thing, Sharms, with like the roster construction, making that more transparent, teams can build better, stronger, deeper rosters, and fans can understand it a bit more. You know, there's less of this convoluted language and verbiage that's unique to MLS. So you're opening that up. It's like an olive branch to fans. Like, come on board. Like, this is easier now to grasp, and you can follow along even if you're a casual fan. And then they kill that with this convoluted playoff setup. So any engagement that you might hope to get with clarifying rules and making teams more competitive, you've just shot yourself in the foot by trying to do an Aussie rules setup for playoffs. Like, make it make sense.
I saw the bracket, like a makeshift bracket, and it just is crazy. It's like the London Underground. It makes like, what
do
is
you have
happening
it? Can
here?
You show us or no?
You know what? Let me try and find it. It was on X, and it was my mate, our friend of the show, Brad Humber. Let me punch it up here, and then I'll send it to you, JC. Don't worry. Or Brad Humber.
This might be a good thing for TSC.
Okay.
Yeah. They're still on the hunt this year.
And Montreal.
Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah. JC, can I send it to you? Can you punch
yes.
it up?
Yes, you can.
On the dark web?
Yes, I will.
I'm sending the tweet to you right now, so you should pop up now. Well, I'm not sure. Tell me if that works.
Yeah.
Or whether you want me to actually...
Oh, goodness. What is that?
You see what I mean?
Gross.
Brackets should be pretty straightforward, right? Like, Team A plays Team B. The winner advances. So, yeah. You know, I think that they should definitely put this idea on iceberg.
Oh, well done.
He's going to go to the clubs. He's going to go to the clubs and he'll be like, look, we pan this out like this. This is the revenue. This is the increase in revenue, blah, blah, right. blah, blah. And the owners, these billionaire owners, are just going to lap it up.
Of course they are. Yeah. Yeah. All right, here we go. There it is.
Oh, wow. Oh,
so much happening.
Whoa.
It looks like a microchip.
It does.
It looks like something from Star Wars, you know, it's like birds out of a spaceship.
It does, yeah. right? Yeah. Cool. Actually, it's an X-Wing. Galactica. It's an X-Wing fighter. Yeah. It is totally an X-Wing fighter. That's kind of cool. Or a weird sideways Christmas tree. Yeah, like, make sense of that, football fans.
What the
When you're tired hell? And, you know, and it's been a long season, and you're looking forward to the end, and you see, here you go, guys. Here's the playoff system.
What the fuck?
So if it was all today, ended today, where would the TFC be?
I think they'd be in, wouldn't they?
Which of the slots?
Actually, no. They're 11th in the...
they'll be there in the end.
Yeah, they're getting some points now. Another bloody injury, by the way. And then very quickly, we get to the Premier League. This the new boy, Nicholas Dosh, looks really good.
Mm-hmm. He's amazing.
All right, couple of goals in 2 games, eh? And he's got a facial fracture now, for crying out loud.
The refereeing is absolutely shit. It was so bad. Honestly. Zimmerman gets sent off. He's never should have been sent off. And then Dortchitz gets an elbow, fractures his cheekbone, and the referee's 10 yards away and does nothing. And then their goal they scored, he was offside too. So that's another thing. Just shit.
It's not great. Sorry,
you
MLS.
Jimmy, you were about the sending off. Why do you not think it was a sending off? Because there was enough cover?
Yeah, there was cover.
I thought there was.
Jackson was the last man. It wasn't Zimmerman.
Yeah.
And when you watch a tackle as well, it's not bad. It's a yellow. I thought for sure, because I was literally right in line with the whole situation. I seen Jackson come over, and then Jackson runs over, and he's going, hey, I was the last man. I was at least 5 yards behind him. And the ref went, no, red card.
MLS being hammered on the podcast.
The only thing I thought maybe it was dangerous play, but that's not the case. It was
no, it wasn't dangerous.
Stopping a goal scoring opportunity, which there was enough cover, I thought. Yeah.
There was enough cover.
Good comeback, though.
Great comeback.
Yeah, yeah. Not amazing to see TFC get points, you know, beyond the 90th. Like, wow, they can do it. It does go both ways. Anyway, listen, we'll talk more MLS next week. We'll get J-Mo and we'll get Ollie on, hopefully, and we'll get Asa on, and we'll have a nice little MLS roundtable, as the supporters group have demanded upon us. And what the supporters group demand, we will endeavor to do. Okay, so the Premier League, as mentioned, kicks off later today. It's all, every team's got hope right now. All had great off seasons. Fans are looking forward to either trophies or good cup runs. It's going to be a great season, though. I think there's a lot to talk about. So what we're doing this, rather than your typical who's going to win, who's going to lose, I'm sure that will come out of time, but we're going to predict what the headlines will be in May, looking back on what this season has been. Now, JC has volunteered. I hope it's volunteered because he's a professional voiceover artist. He could charge us. But I think he's volunteered his voice in some typical old school British wireless headline reading. Is that right? That's kind of the vibe we're going with?
Correct.
Okay. So he'll read a headline out. First of all, I want us all to kind of guess whose headline it was, who came up with it. Mm. Okay. And then we'll discuss how stupid it is or not.
Yeah.
There's some hot takes here. There's some hot takes. It's fun. Okay. So, JC. Let's take it away.
Footy Prime's Prem Prediction Party.
That's just the sound effect.
That was really wet.
Format that for MLS.
Was, ooh.
That
was, yeah, seriously.
Okay, here we go.
Premier League, welcome hydration breaks for next season.
Who would have done that one? Any guesses?
James Sharman.
Yeah.
James Sharman. So easy.
It was just a cynical one to throw in there at the end.
Yeah.
Maybe
I
by
then. I thought it was you because, you know, you don't care about the player's welfare, you know, and, you know, who doesn't need a little drink at the 22 minutes mark?
Especially in like February in England when it's so hot. This is just cynical because, listen, you know, they let the money there. Maybe by that point, the new commissioner of the Premier League is Gianni Infantino or something. It could be a crazy wild season, right? And they're trying to find new ways to grab money from the sponsors. Would you put it past, honestly, world football as a whole to implement the hydration breaks? Or was it so embarrassing that they won't? Are we in for four-quarter football, Jimmy, eventually?
No, it's not happening, and it will never happen in the Premier League. There's no way whatsoever. How can you justify a water break in the Premier League in winter? It's impossible. Mm-hmm. When it's pissing down, it's snowing, and you're going, oh, gentlemen, you look thirsty. Let's go have a little break because you're overheating.
But maybe they'll reframe it.
Couldn't this be an opportunity for tea time?
Yes.
Well, like, time for tea.
Maybe. And then,
cricket have tea
breaks. Yeah.
There you go.
Very civilized sport. Maybe they'll reframe it. They won't call it hydration breaks, but they'll find some way. It's for the athlete, as Craig mentioned. It's for the athlete's well-being. Make sure everyone's feeling okay. Mm. Are you good? Everything fine?
Yeah. And 250 million reasons why they're doing it.
Yeah, exactly, right? When they show the ad dollars that can come in for this well-being break. We'll call it the wellness break.
Hmm. Body break.
With Harold Johnson and Joanne McLeod.
Joanne, did you see they made a comeback for the white kids for the retro jerseys?
How cool is that? That's this. Yeah. Was it Wednesday? When was that? The retro night? Whenever it was. Anyway, we'll find out from Asa next week. I think it was. But how cool is that?
Very cool.
That's good marketing, that is. That's a team that should stay where they are. They get it.
That's right.
Keep feeling, Joanne.
The turn of phrase for the hydration breaks, if they do make an appearance, is the parched pause.
The parched pause? That's pee-pee, for sure.
Yeah,
pee-pee. Pee-pee break.
Back to JC's sound effects. There we go. Full circle.
All right, JC. That was a stupid one to start.
Okay.
What's next?
After a successful and consistent year, finally, Tottenham, after knocking on the door for two seasons, delivers themselves to relegation.
Ooh, 17th. Dubs. Place back to back.
Dubs.
It wasn't Dubs.
No.
Sharms again because both Jimmy.
No, nope. I know Danielle Wongerton. He sent me his pick. Okay. So that's a Danielle Wongerton. Wow. So what do you think about this? I mean, okay. So Dubs, Spurs, back-to-back 17th places, right? Last season, don't forget, it was the final day of the season they actually survived. It was crazy how they fell apart. The Igor Tudor experiment failed. In comes De Zerbi. There's just enough. He's still there. They've brought in some big-time players. They spent a lot of money. This is not Daniel Levy's Spurs anymore. They brought in Sandro Tonali from Newcastle, Matias Fernandes from West Ham, Van Hek from Brighton, a $60 million centre-back. There's some really good players. Andy Robertson.
I was going to say one Andrew Robertson. Yeah.
They're not finishing 17th, are they? That's the headlines way off.
No, they're not. And I think over the course of last season, you know, they didn't do very well in terms of their expected goals and goals conceded. But you look across three different managers that they had, and Thomas Frank, Igor Tudor, and then De Zerbi, they are trending up. So as I think temperamental as De Zerbi can be, their level of performance was much better. So I expect them to be a much improved team. I don't know if they're going to be above mid-table, but I see them making a significant improvement in 17th.
Craig, I actually had them finishing, I think, 5th in a bit of a hot takey kind of way. Yeah, I like what they've done this offseason. I like it. I like De Zerbi as well. He's proven in the Prem. I mean, that's a big jump. I know 17th to 5th doesn't happen often. I get it. It's one of those, got to make some, my picks somewhat interesting. So,
I don't know.
Yeah, they made some good moves. I think they're a top. Yeah. I think they'll finish in the 10th, 9th, 10th position.
Replace Chelsea from last year.
Yeah.
But you know what? It can happen. Remember, Forest were fighting relegation the year after that. They were in Europe.
Yeah, that's a good point.
A few good signings and get things right and get a bit of momentum.
Yeah, look at Sunderland last year. They finished up there, and they could actually struggle this year just because of the added European games.
I think so too.
Yeah.
I think a lot of teams are going to find that, aren't they? And some of those, the United's, not United, they're back in the Champions League. Some of the other teams who aren't in Europe, some good teams, it's going to make a big difference to their seasons.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for example, Spurs, who can just focus on that. I mean, I think 10th would still be a massive disappointment.
You think?
Yeah.
Because of all the
what they've spent this offseason?
Yeah.
And they have quality there as well.
Yeah, they'll be trying to get in the top 7, but I don't know if that's going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting, though. I think Spurs is one of those teams that are going to be a really fascinating storyline to watch throughout. Because De Zerbi can rub people the wrong way as well, don't forget. Very much so. If things don't go right for him. So, we'll see. But I think Spurs are not finishing 17th. The headline is way, way off.
I hope they do.
Spursy.
It is Spursy. It's good to see one big team struggling. I think it adds to the storyline, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it does, for sure.
JC?
Hand job. Frank Lampard keeps Coventry up.
Jimmy.
No. That's got to be...
That's Wonger again, isn't it?
No, it's not Wonger.
No.
I missed it. I got cut out.
Wonger.
It was... say again, JC.
Well, if I'm honest, it's Frank Lampard keeps Coventry up. But I added hand job.
Oh, okay.
That's the headline.
Yes, pulls you in. Who would that?
Wonger.
It wasn't Wonger, was it?
It was Wonger, but it's not.
No.
It's Jimmy.
Oh, he threw us. He threw us a curveball there. Jimmy.
Not know what you'd submitted.
What's that?
Yes. Did you not know what you'd submitted?
I just didn't want to give it away. So you guessed
me. That's good acting.
You guessed wrong.
Throwing us way off. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, Coventry, I mean, Frank Lampard is the factor, right? The key factor, Jimmy. I think he's a very underrated manager. And almost his name works against him. But we saw what he did at Derby. Did a very good job. Then he got given that Chelsea opportunity, which at the time, I don't know anyone could put out that dumpster fire.
Yeah.
So why do you think he'll be enough for Coventry?
I think it's one of these where in the championship, I think they finished with 94 points. They cruised through the championship, most goals. And now he's back in the Premier League. A lot of eyes are going to be on Frank Lampard because of obviously what happened to him at Chelsea. Everybody, the expectations, he didn't live up to them. And now he's back with a side that he cruised with in the championship. And now he's on the big league. And it'd be interesting to see where he's going to end up this season. Did they spend a lot of money, enough money to keep them up? And the way that they were playing last year, can they play the same way in the Premier League? Which I don't think they can. They're going to have to change completely, drastically. And does he have enough about him now that he can change, adapt, and keep Coventry in the Premier League? It's going to be it'll be headlines throughout the season about Coventry and Frankie Lampard. Yeah.
It's a good story. Coventry, you know, they were in a world of hurt for years. They went into liquidation. They lost their ground. They, you know, it didn't look as though they were going to come back. I think they're in the fourth tier.
Yeah.
It's quite incredible, really, what they've done in really a short period of time after what looked as though, you know, a club that could have actually disappeared at one time.
That's right. They actually played their games at Northampton. They had a stadium that was sitting in Coventry. They couldn't agree terms with it. And they went to Northampton for like 4 years. And now they've actually come back and they've got the club back on track. Now, back in the day, what was it? Highfield Road?
Yeah, I think so.
Like, yeah. Coventry back in the day were a brilliant side. They were a big club, really big club. And
Premier League original.
That's right. And they went missing for a long time.
They came back for a while, right? Who was it? Mustafa Al-Haji. Remember him?
Yeah,
really good player. That era was pretty decent there. Yeah. Who else was there?
Well, they had Kobe Jones there as well, remember?
Was he there? Was he?
Yeah, Kobe Jones was there. Who was the other American that was there?
It's a good shout to me on Kobe Jones.
Yeah.
Who was the American with Coventry?
Wijnaldum?
Eric Wijnaldum.
The other guy. The other guy then.
Oh, man.
We're talking like 90s, right? Like mid to late 90s kind of era?
Late 90s, yeah.
Yeah. Can't think who it was.
It's on the tip of my tongue.
Keep thinking about it. I know what I like about it is that they haven't, not too many players have left. They've kind of stuck with what took them there. They brought some players in. I'm looking here. Caliber.
Wiggerly? Was it Roy Wiggerly?
Oh, Ree Wiggerly. Yes. Roy Wiggerly. Good call. Good call, Craig Forrest. Yeah.
I broke his heart a few times.
You know him well. Caliber Yerenki has come in for Norgeland for $27 million. Let's give him a scouting breakdown, shall we? No idea who he is. Carl Rushworth, the goalkeeper from Brighton.
Great experience.
Is he?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll take your word for it. Loom Shuana from Burnley for $23 million. Another centre back in Aurel Amenda from Eintracht Frankfurt, $18 million. Taiwo Awenyi from the Forest, Jimmy, for 10.5. So they brought there's some more depth, certainly. Yeah. But, I mean, how hard is it, though, Jimmy, for a team that played a certain way to great success in the championship to change completely for a new challenge? I mean, that's not easy in one preseason, surely.
No, it's very, very difficult. Very difficult because you got to think when they had their squad, they're cruising through the championship, teams would have to adapt to them. They didn't have to really adapt to anybody because – you're dictating the play. And now when you're going into the Premier League, it's not like that now. Now when you got Arsenal and Man U, Liverpool, all the big clubs coming, you're adapting to them. You're changing your game plan completely. So if they don't adapt, they'll be in a lot of trouble.
But you think they will adapt, they'll survive. So who is going down? Who do you think is going down this year?
I think Hull. There's talk maybe Fulham. Have they done enough this year?
Mm-hmm. Lost Marcus Silva too.
I think it'll be tough for Ipswich this year too.
And Ipswich is going to be tough as well.
Yeah. I mean, McKenna left. Isn't it weird, Craig? Kieran McKenna leaves before the season. He wins promotion again. He just doesn't want the pressure. He's just had kind of, he's makes good money.
That's what he weird did, one. Though, right? He was just like, I need a break.
Yeah, he said he needed a break. I mean, I mean, that could be just simple as that, or he's looking at this squad thinking, well, you know what, 2 years ago, we went down with probably a better squad.
Yeah.
And
I agree.
It's a big ask.
I think it could be one of those situations where you work so hard, you get to the Premier League, and it's, you're looking at the owners going, okay, give me money now. And you're not getting the money. And then he's probably thinking it's just going to be a dogfight, another season of that, trying to survive. That's, you can see it take the toll. It will take a toll on you for sure. I don't think you go through it again. I think he'd love to be in a situation where he's got money and he can go get the players that he wants, because I think he would do a very good job in the Premier League.
Yeah. Well, and when he decides to come back, he'll pick up a job, no doubt about that.
And there'll be openings in the Premier League this season.
Yeah, right? They will.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And wait till about September.
Yeah. Right.
Wait until November when De Zerbi blows up.
Yeah. That's right. He'll be the next Spurs manager.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the stock's high right now, isn't it? It doesn't get any higher at this point for him.
Yeah.
The team that's going to struggle and it's only going to go down this season. So it's probably a good strategic move for him. Next one, JC.
Hendo no go. Blues caretaker manager Jordan Henderson can't spark Europe.
Say it again.
What?
Hendo no go. Blues caretaker manager Jordan Henderson can't spark Europe.
Oh, I like that. Caretaker manager. That's definitely Dubs in that. That's Dubs all over that one.
Yeah.
No, it's not me. I think it's Jimmy. No, it's me.
that's I like that one. So what you are suggesting is that Xabi Alonso doesn't work out at Chelsea.
No, I mean,
Works out at Chelsea.
Thank you. Exactly. So it's just doubling down on that. They're on their fourth manager in less than a year. One of the guys they fired is now managing City. So I just think they seem to be shifting directions, right? That it's Xavi Alonso more involved, more a manager than just a coach. But I just think you're going to need time. You're going to have patience and pragmatism as Blue Co, as those owners. And I'm not sure that they have that. And I think that Chelsea last year, especially the last half of the year, the second half of the year, they were hard done by. They were producing, they were creating goal chances, they were getting into dangerous areas, but things weren't going their way. And they finished 10th, as we mentioned earlier. So this year, I think a lot of the pundits have them finishing in a Champions League spot. I think it might take a little bit more than a season to see them reach those heights. I think they might be 8th, 7th, 8th, something like that, like as per my headline. And I'm not sure if the ownership group has enough patience there, even if Xabi Alonso is playing the type of football that they want and he's able to pull the best out of the group. I think it might take a little while, and that's why Henderson at 36 years old moves in as caretaker manager.
Does anyone else have them finishing outside the top four?
Chelsea? No.
Outside the top four?
No? Like anyone else here? Or if big predictions?
On the pod.
Yeah, I think they finish in Europe, but out of Champions League. So I think they finish like 6th.
I think they get Champions League.
Oh, I have them finishing 2nd.
Yeah. I think they're top 4.
Yeah, they're good. And I totally get what you're saying. It's been another dumpster fire for years there. And last year, once again, I get everything you're saying. I just, Xabi Alonso is an excellent manager who proved himself at Leverkusen. We know at Real Madrid it didn't work out, but I don't think that's on him, honestly. And look at they brought in. Morgan Rogers is a proper footballer, right? Mm-hmm. A lot of money, a lot of pressure there. Maxime Lacroix looked really good as well. Last few months, World Cup. Marco Palestra, again, a guy I'm not going to pretend I know much about, but Atalanta, highly rated, smart footballer. And then we said before, you know, you mentioned Jordan Henderson, but Danny Welbeck, players that are leaders and will sort that room out. And someone I was speaking to yesterday was saying it's like finally inviting some adults to the party. That's what that room needs, Craig. Some guys with personality who have won before and will sort out all the crap and get them, at least within the room, operating the manager's message.
Yeah, no, they got a good squad, of course, and it would be nice to see if a manager could last for any length of time there, to be honest with you. I don't get that whole concept of firing managers like they do, but there's no proven way of success in the Premier League. We've seen just about everything that has worked and hasn't worked. So see what they can do. A lot of money.
Yeah, I mean, I'm putting a lot of faith in Xabi Alonso, obviously. But like you said, you have Jordan Henderson sitting there waiting for that caretaker role, Dubs.
Mm-hmm.
I know, obviously, you're somewhat tongue-in-cheek.
Yeah,
your headline there, obviously. But, I mean, you can't say that Jordan Henderson is going to be the difference maker. I'm not suggesting that. But it's just a new maturity, perhaps, that's been lacking in the past that they finally realized had to be dealt with.
I think so. And I think the cohesiveness of the squad will emerge, right? Because of the balance and the players gone that they went to go get in Welbeck, in Henderson, and who might not lend a tremendous amount of contributions on the pitch, but off the pitch, I think it'll mean a lot. And when you look at all of the flux, all of the change that's happening with the other big teams in the Prem, the fact that Chelsea have that consistency, or should, we hope that it starts trending in the other direction, that there's more patience shown, they are not competing in Europe, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm contradicting myself, but that's one less thing that they have to contend with. So it should lead to them having more success in league play, because that's all they have to address. That's all they have to focus on.
Mind you, they got one of the biggest squads in world football.
Oh, yeah. So bloated.
It is. I think also there's a good chance you're going to see Cole Palmer have a bounce back season. He was very average last year, lots of injuries.
Yep.
Now, can he operate in the same team as Rodgers? Probably. Rodgers is pretty versatile. I think they'll be an exciting team to watch, don't you think, at least?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of talent there.
Yeah.
And I don't know, it's going to be one of those years where, okay, well, I'm sure we'll mention Arsenal at some point, who are obviously everyone's favorite, it seems, but there's a lot of teams in transition right now who may not be at their best. There's been an opportunity for a team to really grasp, if not a title, then certainly second place. Got that kind of feeling. I hope there's a new fresh team in the top four. Someone like, you know, Brentford. Someone out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. Just that would be great for the league, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I think lots of youth, though, in that bloated roster that Jimmy just alluded to, that will be eager to please, you know, hungry to play the brand of football that Xabi Alonso wants to play, right? Where he exits Real Madrid because you have, you know, the rumored rift with Vinny Jr. and some other senior players, and the team didn't want to press any longer. But I think you have a team and youthful legs and players who are eager to make reparations and like improve on a poor season last year, like your Cole Palmers, who want to do something of substance under Xabi Alonso.
I think it was Wenger actually sent in another one. Just he mentioned I'll steal the headline here because we are running out of time. From Wenger, he said, João Pedro outduels Haaland for the scoring title on the final day of the Premier League, which is interesting, though. I like that. João Pedro is a good player, right? Mm-hmm. Really good player who first year Chelsea last year, took some time to adjust, had some injuries, but overall pretty good player. Now, will he beat Haaland for the Golden Boot? That's a big ask, perhaps, but
no.
He'll score some goals. He also got the number 9 shirt, right? And here's a quote I read. I forget who wrote it. It was on, I think, maybe an ESPN. They're talking about the curse of the number 9 at Chelsea.
Oh.
And he goes, so no one understood the curse. Neither did Fernando Torres or Alvaro Morata or Romelu Lukaku or Radamel Falcao or Gonzalo Higuain or wow. Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang or Mateja Kesman, Franco Di Santo, Tony Cascarino or Chris Sutton all wore number 9. Right?
No way.
Yeah.
Cascarino.
Big names there, right? Great players who never did it really properly at Chelsea on a consistent level, right? Cascarino was a great, that's like a Roy Wegerle name being thrown up from the past there. Since Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank scored 23 goals in 2001, no number 9 shirt has come close to scoring beyond, I think he scored 29 goals in that season. No one's come close to that.
And where's that article, Sharms?
I think it was ESPN.
Okay.
But I'll dig it out. If it's not ESPN, it's probably The Athletic. It's where I spend most of my mornings. Yeah. Stuck deep in The Athletic. So anyway, yeah, the number 9 shirt, a bit of a curse there.
Interesting.
Maybe Wong is right. And it's going to be João Pedro. All right. JC, next up.
Ginger Minja. Ed Sheeran's racial outburst mars Ipswich Champions League berth.
Racial outburst? It's got to be Craig Forrest. Is it Craig?
No.
Dubs.
Jimmy. No.
Jimmy.
No.
JC, it's you, isn't it?
It's a JC.
Yeah,
all right, please explain. He played last night, right? Didn't he? Ed Sheeran? He played
Yeah, well, because, well, what it is so when Ipswich stunned everyone and, like, slipped into the fourth position, Ed Sheeran called out a certain Eastern European faction, and it just didn't go well. It was, and that was during a show to celebrate, so it kind of put a damper on the party, you see.
Oh.
Yeah, that's the future. Right. That's
okay. So this hasn't happened yet. This hasn't.
No, no.
Happened
this
yet.
Is this. These are all the future. These are all in 2027. Remember?
Of course. Yeah.
So to be clear, we're not suggesting that Ed Sheeran has said anything racist.
No,
about
he would
anyone.
Just he would never just do that sure. until the future of 2027 when things are start to go sideways. You know. That's so. There you go.
Ed Sheeran's Eastern political leanings come to the forefront in late in this season as Ipswich start bossing the Prem.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. Here we go. Promise keeper, David makes Brighton a permanent move.
Ooh. That's Craig Forrest.
You
I
saw think. It.
Yeah.
No, I didn't see it, actually. I didn't see it, but I think it's your turn.
Yeah.
It's a good headline, Forrest.
Yeah.
All right, Craig. So, yeah, explain. So, what when you say he's... We don't know what these levers in place are, what he must reach, what heights. So, what does his season look like at Brighton?
I think he's going to be relatively successful and he's going to do a good enough job to make that move permanent. Whatever those targets are, he's going to hit them.
Okay, but what are his goals going to be this year? How many games played, Craig, and how many goals will he score?
I think he'll get 10 or 12.
I had 12 too.
Ooh,
that's a good one.
That's good.
A lot of goals. Yeah. I think that's doable for him. If he stays healthy, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, in all competitions, he'll definitely hit that. I think, right. To be honest.
Yeah, I think he'll get double figures.
Now we've got to be careful what we say about Brighton, because
why?
Because people have been commenting, Jimmy, about our lack of research. Even though a lot of them didn't actually listen to the entire podcast. There's a couple now. I want to find the real great one.
What happened?
Okay, let me just read this out for you, okay? Let me find it here. Okay.
Just to be clear, this is not a headline from 2027. This happened this week.
Yeah. This is a response from a guy. This guy is called @atheist666. Okay? Just to start off with, that's his handle. You guys know nothing about Brighton.
Yeah.
You guys know nothing about Brighton, the club, the city, or the players. Listening to you struggle to say anything correct is embarrassing. You'll sound totally unprofessional and amateurish. Why do a podcast without any facts whatsoever? It's a 50-minute drive to or from London. Barbara is the CEO and a minority shareholder. Most players own houses in the city, not town. And the younger ones are provided with select high-quality properties in the city by the club. Brighton is one of the most coveted places to live in the country. A lot of ex-Brighton players still live in the city. The deal is permanent, along with obligation, just structured to stay within UEFA multi-club ownership rules. None of the Brighton players live in London. Do better. Well, listen, Atheist 666. How can you love the devil but also be an atheist? If you're an atheist,
weird.
It's weird, right? You can't be both.
Yeah. Well, we got the Fat Boy Slim thing, right?
Yeah, thank God for that.
Brighton is a lovely place.
And we said that over and over again.
Yeah.
And you said it was a city as well, Craig.
Yeah, and that the players would live there.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
And I still think they live in South London, some of them. They don't all live in Brighton.
Yeah. Well, this guy obviously has the inside track on the club because he also knows the exact levers behind this deal in place. He knows everything, all about it. And yes, it was about the financial fair play or whatever it's called nowadays. I get that. That's how it's been structured. But it's still not a permanent deal. It isn't a permanent deal just yet. That's not officially what it is. So anyway,
exactly. I thought. Well, the thing is, Forrest and I played in Brighton. and against Brighton. So we know
I Brighton. I ended up in a hospital in Brighton. I know the hospital well.
There you go.
You do? How come?
Yeah. Oh, it was a windy night and keeper punted it and center back let it bounce and then it came up and basically the two players, my defender was in front of the striker and I've come to the top of the box, punched it, went over the top, and then jackknife straight down on top of my head.
And really?
It was actually Steve Palmer, my defender. I hit him, and then his head hit the striker. So all three of us were in the hospital.
Oh, my God.
Steve had concussion. I had a potential broken neck, and the other guy was cut wide open from the back of his head. So it was a bit of a car crash. Don't let the ball bounce.
No kidding. That's the lesson That's in the rule. All that.
Fuck, it was windy. It was a windy night and just big punt, put it right on top of the box.
So they thought you did your neck. Like, did you have referral sensations down your limbs? Like, what was the major concern there?
Yeah, I don't remember an awful lot about it.
Like a stinger?
Yeah, that's what it turned out to be.
Right.
No wonder my neck's all fat up.
No kidding. Maybe they should have given you a head scan as well at the time.
Seriously. Were you concussed as well, Forrest?
For me?
Were you concussed as well?
Probably, but back then,
I don't remember.
He has no cuts on him. His neck seems to be okay.
Yeah.
I wonder if there's ever been an incident on the pitch where three players from the same incident ended up in hospital.
I wonder. Yeah, on the same play.
That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So your neck wasn't broken.
Thank goodness.
Did you miss any time?
I don't think I missed that much. Few games, maybe.
Probably should have. Jesus.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Yeah.
Shake it off.
So, Atheist 666, beat that. You got a better story? I don't think so. You and your occulty friends can talk about it.
We criticized as well for like the multi-club model and how we presented it. Like, Bloom divested of his majority share, right, in order to conform to rules. So, he still has a minority stake.
Yeah. Yeah.
In Union.
Of course. It's like if you have two houses and you're like, you can only have one and I give it to my brother. It's still my house.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
I know.
Just because we didn't break down the exact details, which we didn't really think people wanted to hear.
Yeah. And I play by the rules. I still own it.
Yeah, still.
File that under circumvent.
Yeah. Anyway. Yeah,
exactly.
I thought that was funny. Okay, so what's that question? Where'd that come from again? Remind me. I can't remember. Oh, yeah, the Promise David. Oh, Promise. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, okay, Dubs, do you agree with Craig? It'll be, regardless of if it's going to be, do you believe that he will do enough regardless to make this a permanent move?
I do, even though I don't have the inside scoop like Atheist 666 about exactly what the terms are of those deals and like the numbers that he has to hit, I think. Promise David will fulfill the promise. And I think there's refinement to his game. There's things, or he needs to refine his game further. Like the first touch can be better. The hold up play can be better, but he's a big body. If he's turned and he's facing goal, I think he suits the Premier League and he suits a direct style really well, which he's going to play at Brighton. So I think he'll have success and I think he'll blow those terms or those numbers out of the water, whatever they are. I don't know them, but I have full confidence in Promise David.
I seen on social media, there's one clip of him just like rolling over some guy, just crushing him. And a lot of the Brighton fans are responding saying, what have we just signed?
Yeah. I think it's from the World Cup, but he just manhandles somebody, isn't it? Just like moves him out of the way. Like looks like a rag doll.
Yeah. There's one also when he scored the goal in the breakaway and the guy grabbed his shirt and tore his shirt, but he didn't go down. He stuck in it and scored the goal. They're going to love him there. Like I said, hopefully he gets some minutes this weekend, but it might be a bit of an ask. Just arrived at the club, but we'll see. IJC, next up.
How did he do it? Eddie's United clinched on the final day.
Oh, that's a good headline.
What How with an E on the end, right?
Yeah.
How with an E on the end.
So the suggestion there is that Eddie Howe will be in charge of Manchester United by the season's end.
Interesting.
Who do you think made up that headline? Any guesses?
It's Dubs. Too clever. No, it's not me. It's
Atheist 666.
Yeah, it was me.
Yeah.
I was pretty proud of that one as well.
I could tell your body language, you like grew a couple of inches when JC read it out.
Yeah. Yeah. Just puffed out.
That's some good wordplay there.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. Yep. How did he do it?
He put an E at the end of how.
That's how he did it. So again, the insinuation is that Michael Carrick, who took over late last season, did a good job. Pretty quiet transfer window for United. They bring on Yuri Tielemans. There's still time left to make a splash. But that he won't be the solution and that he will be replaced at some point. And Eddie Howe, who left Newcastle, I found out last week, is sitting there waiting for an opportunity. I don't know, Jimmy, what do you think? Is it feasible that Eddie Howe ends up at United next year, or even that Michael Carrick won't work out?
I think it's a good show. Definitely. But I think Michael Carrick's going to do a good job. But if he was to leave, I think Eddie Howe is definitely one of the names that's going to be in the hat, and probably top three. That's for sure. Because you even look what he did at Newcastle as well, right? Won the first trophy in God knows how long. Did what he could. And he's probably just taking a little bit of time off because he knows he's probably going to get maybe a top six club. Mm-hmm. Anytime this season, because we know how much turnover there is in the Premier League, so there's definitely going to be some jobs available.
Yeah, I think he ends up somewhere. I'm not sure about Man United, but I think he'll end up somewhere Premier League club.
Yeah.
Not many English managers with that type of CV, right, who are ready for the next challenge at a big club.
And it hasn't been easy. I mean, his job at Newcastle wasn't as easy as people think. I mean, the Saudis come in, they buy it. Yeah, they got deep, deep pockets, but everything's changed. Everything's changed. This financial fair play thing, I mean, they can be as rich as they like, but if they don't create and produce the revenue, they've got their hands tied. What did they lose? Exactly. Three players this season?
Yeah.
Newcastle? Yeah.
Yeah.
But they're three best players, arguably.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, as much as they would like to break the bank, they literally can't until they increase their revenue, which is very difficult up in the Northeast.
Yeah. You're right. I've watched that documentary about Newcastle. I don't know if you guys watch it as well, where the new owner's coming in, and he's right. They got huge, deep, deep, deep pockets and a lot of money, but they can't spend it.
Yeah.
Because they got to bring in the revenue. So they're trying to figure out ways of how to get money in. They're trying to expand the stadium and sorts going on up there.
And but they can't spend money on City. They were able to do this before any of these rules came into play, even though, who knows? It was an independent group, apparently. You know, looking at the 115 charges, there you go. But it's difficult for a club like the financial fair play thing. It helps the richest clubs in the league.
Yeah, and it is changing this year. The way they look at these numbers, but they could spend money on the stadium still ownership, and they could spend money on the training ground, which apparently is a disaster at Newcastle, which they haven't done. But it's almost like they bought the club a little bit, 2 years too late, when they can really just, because I think they say, who was it who was saying this? Actually, he might have been the Canadian, the guy that runs it, David Hopkinson. He former MLSE. I think he was saying that we could be the biggest team in the world by 2030, which they're not going to be. Sorry, they're just not. They lose Bruno Guimarães, they lose Anthony Gordon, Matt Target, they lose Kieran Trippier. I mean, these are good players, important players. And they haven't brought in, I'm trying to think who they brought in. Obviously, the new manager is Matthias Yassel, who's highly rated. They've brought in Bousamana Touré from Hoffenheim, Alagi Bamba from Monaco. So we'll see how their scouting network is. But they could be in trouble. But Eddie Howe, back to that, Dubs. I mean, do you think United, what are your thoughts on United and what they've done so far, and if Michael Carrick can be that calm influencer that he was on the pitch all those years ago?
Yeah, I think he can continue to do that, but the same way that Xabi Alonso has the freedom to just focus on the Premier League and doesn't have to worry about European competitions and the Thursday to Sunday and balancing all that and thinning your squad and dealing with rotation, Carrick will have to do that, right? He has to factor in at least 8 Champions League fixtures. So does he have the veterans, after he loses Casemiro? Who else does he lose?
Well, Rasmus Højlund, but he wasn't there last year. He hasn't lost much.
But, you know, he's going to be leaning on the veterans a little bit more, and certainly Tielemans as the addition, but it's going to be more of a balancing act, and it's going to test him a little bit more. So he's going to feel the pressure. Coaching there, he's used to it, we know this, but as a manager, he has to be able to shoulder it appropriately and tinker and balance and manage his roster and the loads in these players' legs in order to get consistency from them in all competitions.
I just realized we're at 55 minutes. We have to end this podcast. Holy crap. Yeah. Jesus. We'll do some more of these on Monday. And please let us know. And I asked the Supporters Club in particular. We'll text you as well. We want to get some of your headlines for next season. Okay. But everyone enjoy the weekend. All kicks off today with Arsenal, the champs, up against Coventry.
The champs
against the champs. Champs against chumps. You decide who's Ooh. Who. Yeah. Brighton's playing, I think it's on Sunday morning, right? I really hope Promise gets some minutes in that game, but it should be a lot of fun. We look forward to destroying our weekends now for the next few months and having some football in bed, which I really, really enjoy. Footy Prime is brought to you by BetMGM. Make it legendary, everybody.
Legendary.
Allergic to dairy.
Footy Prime is brought to you by BetMGM. Make it legendary. Check us out on YouTube at youtube.com/footyprime and subscribe. Leave us some comments. We'd love to hear those. And check us out on Instagram at footyprimeig and on Twitter at footy_prime. And check out wearefootyprime.com. Sign up for our newsletter.
So BetMGM has 6.5 for a draw for Arsenal Coventry. What do you think?
No, I don't see Arsenal dropping points.
Okay.
They look good last week against City.
25 cents, maybe.
Done and done.
Okay, I gotta jump. Bye, everyone.
Okay, see you.